All right. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you guys I probably lost my voice on that last song. My absolute favorite praise and worship song. The sad thing is, Caleb and I have been doing this for some years now, haven't we, bud? And I'm always like, will you please do that song? And the only time that we've ever been able to do it is in a quote-unquote youth service. You can see, like, my heart rate's pumping. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to conquer the world. And sometimes we just need to get that excitement going, right, guys? Like, as the church, do we want to be a dull, boring, lifeless church? Or do we want to have so much life in us, so much love in us, that it just comes out of who we are, that it goes out, not just into the atmosphere to stay in this room, but that it flows, the love of God flows out of us, the energy that we have, the spirit, that everything that we are just absolutely shows excitement in Christ. I'm going to tell you, if today you don't have any other reason to be excited because I can promise you God is with you today. Be excited because the creator of the universe sent his son down to die on a cross for you so many years ago, and you personally were thought of and loved and sacrificed for. Personally, not those Christians out there, not that church out there, not that group of people out there. You personally were loved enough that the creator of the universe sent his son to die for you. What kind of love is that? That's a love that the only way I can describe it is just to point you towards God. Because in my human form, I do not know how to personally love somebody that much. I have my own children. I have my wife. I have my mother and father. I have family. I have friends. I'm telling you, I do not know how to love in that way. Thank goodness we have the God, the creator of the universe, that loves us in that way. Guys, if you guys have been keeping up with the Facebook page at all, it's been a little bit of a rough week for some of us. But I am excited to say that even through some of the passings that we've had of this earth, that this morning there are some people that are up in heaven actually worshiping in heaven this morning with no pain, no hurt. Be with those families. Be with my wife's family. Be with Addison's family as they are changing some ways that they do life just simply because their loved ones are now in heaven with God. And some of us may look at that passing in a way that is sad and sorrowful, but we need to figure out a way to know that that death is but a blessing for us that know Christ. No longer do we have to worry with the hurts of this world, but we get to be in the fullness of God's presence. So as we continue this study of the flow, I want to talk this morning about the flow of blessings. And a lot of you guys are automatically going to think of all the great things that you have in your life, right? And I hope that I change your idea of what blessings truly are this morning. See, some of us get brand new boats. Huh? Somebody get a new boat this week? Is it awesome? Is this cool? Hey, if I had a buddy that needed some help, would you sell it today to help him? Would you? Some of us have big houses. Some of us have nice things. And we think of all those things as the blessings in life. And in a worldly term, they are. But let me tell you a little bit more about the way God thinks. Those blessings need to be looked more as opportunities. The more that we have means the more that we have to give. It doesn't mean the more that we should store up for ourselves. It should be the more that we give out. If we see a brother that is hurting or a sister in pain or somebody that is hungry, we can skip a meal at the Ruth's Chris and go help them. We can maybe not drive quite as nice a car, but be able to feed and clothe our neighbors. Those are true blessings, to be able to have abundance to give in abundance. If you look in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, as you guys open up your Bibles, I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory with what's going on here. Okay? Pentecost has come, the Spirit is flowing through the apostles, and the word is being proclaimed. Now we know this because the author of Acts, which if anybody doesn't know is Luke. Luke is the author of the book of Acts, and as we see what the way that he writes things down, we can see that Pentecost has come, and now Peter is proclaiming Jesus, right? He is preaching Jesus, and it says, through his preaching, if you go back, I know we're starting at verse 42, and we want to focus in on verse 42, but 42 doesn't make sense if we don't go back just a little bit. Guys, we have so many issues with reading our Bible in the way that we want to read it, not in the way that it's presented. But if we go back just a little bit, we can see why the church has the blessings and what those blessings are. And it says in verse 41, it says, after Peter had preached, it says that so those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. We go from fear of a crucified, dead Savior to hope in a risen Savior, to being filled with the Holy Spirit, to going out and proclaiming Jesus in his name, and 3,000 people are saved. Let me tell you this, if there is no other blessing that you have in your life, if the best that you can do is live under a bridge somewhere, ask for this blessing that the Spirit fills you enough to go out and proclaim God's name to somebody that gives their life to Christ. You want a blessing? Ask the Spirit to use you to bless somebody else. Peter wasn't too far along, wasn't too far ago that he was scared in a room wondering what's happening next. And now he's proclaiming the name of Jesus to the thousands. And let me say this, church, this 3,000 that were saved is not the measure there. It doesn't just stop with saying the 3,000 were saved, because so often in our churches we say little Johnny or old man Joe or little lady Sue was saved, and then we forget about them, right? And that's not what happens. When we go into verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. The word devoted does not mean they simply just go in there and they proclaim Jesus and walk away. If you were devoted something, that means you were intimately involved in something. You are doing something regularly. You have compassion for something. You have love for something. You want to be involved. They said they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. Guys, as we have done our studies and we've gone through all the things that we need to do as a church and the way that we build believers up, that we disciple believers, that we grow the church as we grow personally, some of us need to study that word devotion. You guys may hear this regularly and have heard it for regularly. I don't ask for a devotion that has you just simply show up every Sunday morning. That's good that you do. I'm glad, it's a good thing, but it's not enough. I'm talking about the devotion when nobody else sees what you're doing. I'm talking about the devotion that asks you to open up your Bible and read and study and learn God's word. I'm talking about the type of devotion that when times get tough, that you know immediately where to go. When times get tough for somebody else, that you know immediately where to send somebody else. That when you're in excitement and happiness and praise, you know who to give those praises to. I'm talking about a devotion that means fully encompassing your entire life to Christ. Said these 3,000 were fully devoted to the apostles' teachings. Apostles were teaching of Jesus' life and ministry and God's love for us. Guys, Peter didn't just proclaim the word, said, yeah, we got him saved, give a high five to his buddy and go on down the road. It also says that the apostles were teaching. They were proclaiming. They were also devoting time into discipling. And because of all this, because of all the work that had been done, because of Peter's boldness with the Spirit to allow the Spirit to speak and proclaim salvation, and because of all the work that it took and dangerous work it took to be able to proclaim his name and to talk his name and for people to gather in and study, now we talk about the blessings. I don't think Peter rolled in with his donkey with Lamborghini emblem on it after this. Do you guys think? I don't think so either. And I don't think he like added some extra cool horseshoes onto his horse to lift it a couple extra inches and thought, man, look at the blessings on that guy. I don't think that he went in and like gold-plated his teeth or put massive rings on his hands or had the coolest sandals in town. That wasn't the blessings that he had here. The blessings that he had, as we read on, was he had the ability and the desire for God's love to be able to pour himself out for his brother. Do you guys know what it means to pour yourself out for somebody else? To give with nothing else expected in return. To give knowing there'll be loss in your own life. This is the type of blessings God talks about. It says, everyone was filled with awe. That word awe right there, it wasn't like a 4th of July fireworks awe type show. It wasn't like the amazement of the big boom and then it goes away. It wasn't an awe of like, oh, that's really cool. It wasn't an awe of, whoa, I've never seen that before. The type of awe that is being talked about here is an awe that is a fearful, God-fearing type awe, an amazement. Something miraculous is happening. Something earth-shattering, life-changing type awe is happening here. And the people knew it. See, this wasn't the type of awe. Let me ask you guys this. After you guys reached about, let's say, 12 years old, raise your hand for just a second if you went to a fireworks show after you were 12 years old. Raise your hand if you've been to that. Maybe you went to Booms Day when we used to have that. Maybe you went to a buddy's house, right? You guys have been there, right? Now, how many of you guys afterwards, after you were 12 years old and you had seen a few fireworks shows, went home and spent 30 minutes talking about each and every boom that was there? Raise your hand if you were part of that. Yeah, you just try to throw me off. I know that we don't. More than likely, what you do is you say, we go down to Kingston Fireworks Show, and we talk about all the crazy things we saw, right? We talk about all the weird things, but we rarely talk about the thing that we went there for, the boom, the excitement, the loudness. We talk about our kids crying, or we talk about having to get out of there, and it took 3 hours, but we rarely talk about the awesomeness of the fireworks show. Why? Because although it looks neat, it wasn't life-changing. The type of awe that these people had was a life-changing awe, an exciting awe, but also an earth-shattering awe. They saw people's lives being changed. They didn't just go talk about it or prepare for it. They didn't just get a cooler up to sneak in some waters into the fireworks show, and that wasn't the type of preparation. I'm talking change. Life-changing awe. And it says, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. God was working through the apostles. Let me tell you, today, God should be working through us. People should be seeing in awe the way that God works through us. in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we love, in the way that we proclaim the gospel, in the way that we help each other out in our hard times, in the way that we praise God in the good times and the bad times, in the way that we lift our brother up, in the way we lift our neighbor up, in the way that we lift our enemies up, we should know God is working, and people should know God is working. It should not be of ourselves, but it should be of God. Goes on just a little bit farther to explain here. It says, now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all. Now, a lot of us would read this initially and think of a socialist type idea here, right? See, a lot of us would read that passage and stop right there and say, see, we need to just all combine together and make everybody, give everybody a little bit of everything. But that is not what it talks about. If you don't read just the next few words, you don't have the fullness of what God's asking and what they did out of love. If you read the next few words, it says, as any had need. In other words, they love their neighbor so much that if they had abundance in their life and their neighbor didn't have abundance, if their neighbor was struggling to eat, if their neighbor was struggling to keep a roof over their head, if their neighbor was struggling with sickness and hurt and pain, if they were unable to take care of their place, that they loved people so much that they took what they had and they got rid of it in order to help. See, so often we think of this time and we can read this in a way that we think that we come into this commune, right? And we're supposed to come in and just share everything. That is not the point. That is not what God is asking in this particular situation. God is asking you, if somebody needs help, go to all lengths possible to help them. Don't hold your personal prized possession to such regard that you will allow your neighbor to starve to death. Don't hold that awesome new electronic device or that awesome new pair of shoes or whatever it is to such high regard that you will allow your neighbor to freeze at night. Don't hold that beautiful home that you have to such regard with 25 rooms in it, with 15 bathrooms, with only 4 people living in it, to such high regard that we forget that someone down the road doesn't have enough medicine, enough money to buy their medicine for the week. It says they love God so much that they took all that they had and said, I would give it all. They would sell their possessions. They would take all the abundance they have. They would even take what we would consider abundance is not what they would consider abundance in this situation. See, abundance for us is like ordering 2 large fries at McDonald's and saying, well, I can only eat 1.5 of them. I'll give somebody the other half. As American Christians, that's our thought of giving in abundance. I'm talking about the type that says, you know what? I may still be hungry, but hey, I'm going to share this sandwich with the 3 of you so that we can sustain life. Has anybody ever had a litter of puppies in their home? Anybody ever had that? Right, so you've got some puppies in your home and you go and you get some, and I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. This is not in any way, Luke, I'm talking to my wife and your wife. We don't need any experiments with puppies at our house. I'm just saying, if you've ever seen it, if not, we'll get a YouTube video. We don't need more puppies. But if you've ever seen a group of puppies and you take a scoop of food and you throw it in a bowl, what do they do? They go crazy over the food, right? And I've seen puppies go so much into the food, and they eat and they eat and they eat until the next thing you know, they roll over and are sick. They're sick to the point their bellies are just so full that maybe they throw up or they get sick or they lay there for hours. We do that sort of thing with our abundance, guys. That's not the way that we need to take in God's blessings. Not to the point that we have so many that we have to regurgitate them out. I'm talking a point that we have so many blessings that we have to go share them. We have to love. We have to help. And that's what they were doing here. See, we also have to watch out in the way that we deal with each other. God does not ask us to simply combine in this building and bless each other. See, so many times people in the name of religion have gathered together in groups and isolated themselves, and they think they're doing great things, but God's purpose in our life is not for us to hide. See, has anybody ever heard of the People's Temple? Has anybody ever heard of the name Jim Jones? Oh, you guys have heard of Jim Jones, huh? See, Jim Jones was leader of a group called the People's Temple, and it was a commune of people that gathered together, and he used power over them to get them to do pretty much anything that he wanted them to do. See, the power that he had, the abundance of power that he had over these people led to something horrible happening. Has anybody ever heard the phrase, just drink the Kool-Aid, or they just drank the Kool-Aid, or that sort of thing? It's actually Flavor Aid, if anybody wants to really know. Jim Jones had so much power over a group of people that they forgot the purpose of what they were supposed to be worshiping. They took their abundance and they wanted to harbor it in, and he wanted to control these group of people to go ahead and bless himself, to the point that when everything started going wrong, one day he mixed up a cyanide cocktail with Flavor Aid, and 918 people took their lives. 304 of those people were kids. I tell you this to say that God does not desire us. We have to be careful. He does not desire us to just build each other up. He does not desire us to harbor things in. He does not desire us to just simply close down the walls and build communes and do things in his name to glorify ourselves. He does not desire that kind of situation. What he desires is for us to go out and flow the blessings into our community, to flow his spirit into our community, to flow his spirit into our households, to flow his spirit with our neighbors, into our schools, into everything that we have, to allow the blessings to flow through us, but not to harbor inside of us, but to flow out in love. So often we come up with ideas, and we talked about God the created versus the creator last week, right? So often people like Jim Jones create a God that people worship, and that God ends up being themselves. I'm telling you today, if you truly want God's blessings, eagerly allow those blessings to flow out of you as quickly as they flow in you. Get as much excitement, if not more, when you bless your brother or your sister as when you're being blessed yourself. Be more excited when something that you were able to do, when you were able to give, points somebody in the direction of Christ, than something you do or gave or whatever brings that glory back to yourself. Be more excited. Love more. It goes on. And it says, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple. When they were meeting together in the temple, what do you think they were doing? They weren't just going and sitting and listening. They were actively involved. They were proclaiming and rebuking. They were loving. They were showing people. As a matter of fact, if you read at this point in time, the way that they loved, the way they took care of people, the way they acted, that people actually were kind of impressed in the way that these Christians were coming into a situation. And let's not forget, this was a taboo thing that they were doing. This was not the norm. But the way that they loved and the way that they cared, they were able to go in and more people were growing towards Christ. And it says, after they were in the temple, it says, and they broke bread from house to house. Now, when we talk about breaking bread here, we're talking about partaking in the Lord's Supper. See, as we read this, we would automatically think breaking bread would be just going to each other's house and eating. And although that comes a little bit later in this sentence, they're talking about they actually went house to house and were doing things to remind them of Jesus. Now, some of you may ask, why have we not had communion here? Well, because of the COVID things and that sort of thing, we have kind of slacked back from that. That does not in any way mean that we don't want to go in and have communion together. It means that we want to have each other's safety in mind, and as soon as we can figure out how to do that safely, and we may do that here coming up soon, we all may bring in our little piece of bread or unleavened bread and bring in your little juice box or whatever you want to do, but we will do that in remembrance of God. But they were living in a way that brought glory to God. And then it goes on and it says, they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. So not only were they doing these things, but if you read at the very first verse that I told you, it said they were fellowshipping. Guys, it is so important for us to go out, and that fellowship is not just a time for us to be able to come together on Sundays and say we had fellowship. I'm talking about last night, I had a group of friends, and it's so hilarious. We forgot to take the picture, guys. But my oldest group of friends, people that the first people that I ever met in Roane County, I was able to sit out and watch our kids, the next generation, play together. I had food on my table after a rough day because you guys came home and loved on my wife. You guys cared for us. You shared in our sorrow, you shared in our pain, and then you shared in our joy and our happiness. I was able to sit back with friends and family and realize the blessings that God had in my life. I was able to see my kids, and I'm telling you, it is hilarious when you want to take a family photo and you have all the little ones, and here's Addie in the photo also, a full-grown woman. That explains a little bit of my age, okay? It is so awesome to see the love that you guys have. It is so amazing to be able to fellowship together. But how awesome is it when those times of fellowship point right back to Christ? Guys, if you see a brother that's hurting, if you see a sister that's hurting, go love on them. Show them you care. Take the time out of your day. It says, after they ate their food and had their joyful and sincere hearts, as they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. Guys, they were excited and joyful, and that comes right after it says they were taking and selling off their goods. They were taking and living a life of less abundance. They were focusing on something other than themselves. They found joy and happiness and peace and love and excitement. Church, get excited. Get excited to go out and love on people. Get excited for what God's doing in your life. Get excited for the blessings that you are able to flow out into this community. Get excited that God is working. Get excited that God is loving. Get excited that people are interested in seeing. Get excited that God's word is being proclaimed. Get excited that we have people wanting to get ordained into the ministry today. Get excited that people are wanting to learn who Jesus Christ is. Get excited because people are devoting their lives to Jesus. Get excited when the hard times come, when we need to know what to do next. Get excited whenever you need to lean on God and your home feels like it's in shambles and you don't know what to do. Get excited, because at those point in time, that is when God comes in and works. When you have nothing else to do, nothing else that you can say, nothing else that you can give, realize that God gives in abundance, and that's when He shows up. When you realize your lack of need for yourself and your abundant need for Him. Get excited that you have the answer to problems. Get excited that you have reason for joy. Get excited that you have hope that this world does not just end in this world. Get excited to the point that you share with your kids, with your family, with your neighbors, with this world, that 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son into this world. He showed us how to live as man. He showed us how to give in abundance. He showed us how to pray and talk to God. He showed us how to seek after our neighbors. He showed us how to proclaim the word. And then He showed us what love was. He showed us by willingly climbing up on that cross, by having those stakes driven into His wrists, by still in the middle of His persecution, praying to God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For still proclaiming God to the men hanging beside Him. By still preaching the gospel, and in turn, giving His life up, taking the payment that we owed fully upon Himself, and then giving us hope and assurance in an empty tomb. Guys, if there's nothing else that comes out of your word, out of your mouth, if there's nothing else that you can bless somebody with, if you are in the rock bottom part of your life and there's nothing else to give, give people the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Show them the love of the Savior. Point them to the cross. Bless even the people that you think may not deserve the blessing. Realize that blessings are not material things. Blessings are godly, spiritual things. Allow that love to flow through you, not just into you, but through you. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You for just being with us. I thank You for the abundance of blessings that You have in our life, Lord, that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son down for us, Lord, because of all of the sin in our life that You paid in full with Your Son. Lord, that when we see a neighbor hurting or in pain, that we don't worry about, does our checkbook or does our home life or does our cupboard look a little bit more bare than it usually does? But we look that God, if You provided for us, then it's our job and our duty to provide for them. But Lord, let it not just stop with just helping out our brother. Allow us to do what You truly want, and that is to proclaim hope and love into the life of our brothers in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us not just come into this world and be lost and wander aimlessly and try to figure out our own way, Lord. I ask that You allow Your Spirit to come into us and allow us to know what our purpose is, to allow us to know what direction points to You, Lord, and allow us to take that direction and that purpose and share it with the world. Lord, if there's anybody here today that doesn't understand just who You are, if they don't understand how much love you have for them, Lord, I ask that you put a burning desire upon them, that they cannot just take another breath or another step without desiring to have more knowledge of you, and in turn, desiring to have that intimate relationship with you, Lord. And allow us not to just be like that commune that just takes everything in and hoards it up for our own personal glory, Lord. Allow us to be emptied out, to be poured out, to be spread out for you. Lord, if there's something in our lives that is blocking us from gathering closer to you, I ask that you remove it. Lord, if there is something in our lives that has built walls up, trying to keep you out, I ask that you shatter those walls, that you take those walls and you just blow them out of the water, Lord. I ask that if there is a hole or a void in our life, or something that we need something else, that you allow us to realize that hole or that void in our life can only be filled with you. Lord, allow us to be a church that first and foremost glorifies you, proclaims you, and loves you. And Lord, we know if we know how to love you, we will know how to love each other. And Lord, let us show even our enemies the love that you had for us. Let us show that to them. Love you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I desire you. Lord, I want you in every aspect of my life. Lord, use me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.